is Athena and welcome back to Let's Talk Disability, the podcast focusing on a range of disabilities from autism to dyspraxia to ADHD. I talk about a lot, and in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about rejection sensitivity dysphoria. Now, rejection sensitivity dysphoria is something that is primarily found in neurodivergent people, and it's where we feel rejected or And it's basically where we feel rejected or misunderstood by a conversation or an exchange, whether it's intended or not. Now, like I said, this is primarily focused on people with neurodivergence, although other people can have it. It just isn't as common. Now, doing some research, I couldn't find a cause for rejection sensitivity dysphoria. There's some articles saying that it could be linked to trauma. There's some articles saying it's just the way it is. So I'm going to be more focusing on the way it affects us in our daily lives, and as well going to be focusing on experiences that I had as a neurodivergent person. So without further ado, let's get on with the podcast. So I'm currently looking at this website that says RSD, which is rejection sensitivity dysphoria, is characterized by an intense emotional and physical pain in response to perceived rejection. It can come from a range of emotions and behavioral symptoms. Some of us may find ourselves sensitive to rejection, experiencing emotional pain, or even avoiding situations that could trigger us or our feelings. Now, it's quite unlucky for me. I never know when my triggers are for rejection sensitivity dysphoria. Some things that I think might trigger me don't, and then other stuff just throws me off left field and I'm in a meltdown, or I just feel completely rejected and I don't understand why. And even when I reflect after, I find that open-ended statements for me generally trigger them a little bit. So for example, if you say to me, I made a reel about this, do you want to go out for tea? You can come if you like. I think it's you can come if you like, leading the decision up for me. Like, I know it was my decision if I want to come or not, but I almost don't feel like I'm welcome. I'm almost like I'm a second thought. You've invited everyone that you want to come, and there might be one more seat at the table, or you might feel guilty that I'm left alone. So I might think, oh my gosh, do they really want me there? When in reality, it's not like that. They might have just forgotten about me and been like, oh my gosh, Athena has to come. She has to come. Or it might just be something to do with my dyspraxia and autism where they're hypervigilant and they're like, right, I don't want to annoy her. I don't want her to feel overwhelmed or upset. So I'm not going to invite her, or I'm going to give her the option. But I feel like most of the time for me, it isn't meant in a malicious way, but I do perceive it like that. So let's look at some of the symptoms of RSD. Intense emotional pain. Now, feelings of sadness, anger, worthlessness can be overwhelmingly intense in perceived rejection or criticism. And I could definitely agree with that. It's not just in our brain. It's like a physical reaction. For me, this feels like someone's said the worst thing they can ever said. Like, not like they've like killed somebody, but when really it could just be something simple, but it really does feel very emotional. Like, you want to cry, like you can feel it in your gut. It's so overwhelming, and sometimes I can see where the person is coming from after I've had a reflection. Sometimes it's just my brain perceiving it in a way that I'll never understand the other way. Let me know your thoughts on that. Let me know if you get the physical raw pain when you feel like you're possibly being rejected. So the next one, physical discomfort. Physical sensations like heavy chest, racing heart, knotting stomach when facing situations like RSD. So the other day, my mum got my brother and my dad some food because because at the moment my brother and my dad go to this house because they're doing some buildings and renovations. They're helping one of a family friend, and my mum got them some microwavable meals to help them. I put that as a rule. She bought them for them, so they have to eat them there. And in their mind, they were like, well, we're hungry now, we're at home, let's just eat them now. And I was putting a rule towards that. And they were turning around to me and saying, no, Athena, I can eat it when I like, stop telling me what to eat. And in my mind, I felt completely rejected because I was thinking, my heart was racing, my stomach was in knots. I was thinking, I'm doing this with good intention. I'm not telling you what to do. But yeah, I feel like the whole situation, I'm feeling perceived as rejected. Now in that situation, I think it was just a miscommunication, but it really did feel really uncomfortable. Now, the next one which I'm going to be talking about is defensive reactions. Now, if we've perceived an interaction or feeling rejected and we've got the wrong end of the stick, this can come off as a bit OTT and dramatic. And I know this on first hand. There's been countless events where someone's asked me to go somewhere, I've taken it the wrong way because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they are my last minute decision, they don't want me. And then everything's just playing in my mind. And then I end up in a meltdown or someone said something to me and I just lash out because everything in my mind, I'm like, it's true. I am being rejected. The way I'm being perceived is totally right. This is why I find it quite hard when talking to people sometimes because I don't know how to trust my mind 100%. I know in the past my mind has been wrong with perceiving situations, so I don't like to jump straight away on stuff. But then sometimes if I leave it a bit too long and it is somebody has done something wrong, then it could be more damaging. So I don't really know what to do on that situation. Does anyone have any advice on that? Or if I get any advice in the future, I will definitely put it in a podcast. So we've reached part of the podcast where I would normally give some advice or some words of wisdom, but I feel with rejection sensitivity dysphoria, it's quite difficult because it really does affect me in my everyday life. And I have got some tips in a way of asking the person. I have got some tips in a way of talking to family members so they understand my RSD and they can tailor their language so it doesn't trigger me as much. So for example, rather than asking an open-ended question, say it more like a statement like, oh, the dishwasher needs doing. Do you have time today? Rather than saying something like, oh, we're having a party later on, you can come if you like. Maybe say something like, we're having a party later on, I thought of you. I know you may get overstimulated, but would you like to come? I'd be really like you there. I think for me, it's reassurance. I know for some people, it doesn't make a difference. But I know for me specifically, just having that reassurance, lack of open-ended question. If I think there's some ambiguity, I'm like, I'm not too sure about this. So we've hit the end of the podcast. I really hope you enjoyed this podcast on rejection sensitivity dysphoria. I was going through the list of suggestions that I put on my Instagram about a month ago, and I was going through the list and I thought, you know what? I really fancy doing rejection sensitivity dysphoria because I don't think I've made a podcast about this. And like I've said in the past, I am so, so sorry for the gaps in between the podcasts. I'm working through some stuff. I've got university and I just needed to figure out where I can slot it in to prioritize it. It's not that I don't have enough time. I just really struggle with prioritization. I'm guessing many dyspraxic, autistics and neurodivergents also struggle with it. I might do a podcast on organization and prioritization because that is something I struggle with, and I think a lot of people maybe would benefit from, well, not benefit, but like to hear my advice on it. So yeah, I really hope you enjoyed the podcast and I'll see you in the next episode for more content on disability. I'll see you then, and don't forget to subscribe, like and give me 5 stars only if you want to. I'll see you on a Monday at 9 o'clock. See you then. Bye.